want to welcome you to the stage. Our wonderful, amazing, beautiful, fantastic, phenomenal. She's awesome. She's just amazing. You know, I have to tell you this really, really fast, and then I'll give her the mic. But it's about 14 years ago, my husband and I visited this church, and we never left. We came on one Sunday, and we never went to another church again. It was so fantastic. So I encourage you, get rooted. This woman is amazing, and she will help you find Jesus and change your life. So welcome, Pastor Shayna Hurd.
Amen. For those of you who don't know, that's Pastor Jennifer Ortiz. I don't know if she ever introduced herself, but she's one of our assistant pastors here. She's absolutely amazing. We love her. Thank you, Pastor Jen. Great job today. Hey, I'm excited! First of all, I love going to Warriors games when they have free t-shirts. Anybody else like that? And they put them out. And so when we had this day coming up, I kind of had this vision. I said, you know what? We're not going to be like your average church where you just kind of come in and don't have any fun. We're going to be like the Warriors up in our church. We're going to have some fun today. So I made sure we had shirts out. And I was told, Pastor, that makes no sense because what if the shirts are the wrong size? I was like, you can switch. Doesn't it look cool, though? Okay, nobody else likes it but me. That's all right. My vision was fulfilled. Well, welcome, everybody. Today is National Back to Church Sunday. Yay! And it's wonderful to see everybody and to see so many new faces and also a lot of familiar faces here today. We're excited about Back to Church Sunday. And like I said, this is something that's happening around the country. It's an opportunity for us to join with other parts of the body of Christ around the country to reflect and reclaim the actual true nature of the church. The church is really a place of love, of peace, of hope, of community. And we wanted to capture that today. I know that some of you may have been to church and that may not have been your experience in the past. And for that, I want to stand on behalf of the church and apologize to you that if you did not have a great experience in a church, I am so sorry that you had that experience. But we pray that you would get an opportunity to really experience what real church is about, which is loving people unconditionally, encouraging people, and helping them to grow in their walks with God and in their lives. Somebody say amen. Give the Lord a hand praise. Y'all agree with that? So that's what National Back to Church Sunday is all about. It's about bringing us all back together. And I know that everybody here may have a different reason why they came, or you may have had a friend that invited you. I'm so grateful for whatever reason that you've chosen to come today, that you are here. It means the world to me to see you. Some of you have come through outreach events we've had. I've seen you here and there, different events. It's nice to see you guys back. Some have come because a friend invited you. Some have come just because you Googled us or found us on the internet. It doesn't really matter why you came. I believe God brought you here for a special purpose, and that's for us to give you a big old hug and tell you how much God loves you. Is that all right? All right. Some of y'all don't want to be hugged. That's okay, too. We understand that. I didn't want to be hugged when I first came to church either. If anybody knows me, I don't really like to be touched either. I have a personal space issue. But what I do know is how important hugs are. And I know even when I don't want to be touched, sometimes, look, y'all can't hug me for too long. There is a 3-second rule to hugging people. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, break. Don't stay there forever. I can hold on for 3 seconds. I can't hold on for much longer. So those of you who have personal space issues, just think it's only 3 seconds. It's only 3 seconds. And if they keep holding you, you just back off. They'll get it. Sometimes. Jennifer likes to hold on really long to annoy me, but that's okay. All right, you ready for the word today? Amen. All right, if you have a Bible or an electronic device with a Bible on it, turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. If you do not have a Bible, don't worry. We're going to put the words on the screen for you. But it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. We are a Bible-teaching church, so we do encourage people to read their Bibles. We used to encourage you to bring your Bibles to church, which was like the paperback version. Steph, hold your Bible up. I know some of you still like that old school version. I'm like that. And some of you are like, forget that. I'm going to forget my Bible. I just bring my phone because I have my phone everywhere. If you got it on a phone, raise it up so we can see that. All right, that's okay. Either way, it's fine. We just want to encourage you to read your Bible. All right, so Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. If you do me a favor, as is our custom, would you stand as we read the Word of God together out of reverence for the Word of God? But before we do that, what we're going to do is we're going to say our Bible affirmation. And the reason we do Bible affirmations is because we believe that God is going to do something special during our time of hearing the word. And so we like to make sure that we come into agreement with that, that we say that, and that we remind ourselves that God's about to do something special. Is that okay? So everybody hold your Bibles, your electronic devices high in the air. If you don't have one, just lift your hands in the air as a sign of faith. Here's what we're going to say. We're going to say it together. It's on your screen. You ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. Who it says I am, I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, don't worry about it. There are so many amazing versions of the Bible out there. But for the sake of us reading this all together, we're going to just pick this translation so that we don't sound like we're reading all over the place. Is that okay? All right, so we're going to read just two verses together. You ready? Here we go. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. And it goes on to say, of the love of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for this word today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us, that you would help get us rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in Christ, and rooted together and grounded in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this Back to Church Sunday. We pray that you would move me aside, Holy Spirit. You would come in and you would teach and speak to your people in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Before you're seated, if you do me a favor, I know y'all don't like talking to other folks. I'm just going to ask you to say one sentence. Can you turn to somebody and ask them a question? Say, how deep are your roots? All right, I'm only going to ask you to say it one time. Usually I make you turn to somebody else, but I'm being nice today. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. The title of my message today is, how deep are your roots? I like to think about it this way. Have you ever set out a goal or tried to accomplish something? Or maybe you got a promise that you heard from God or you seen it in scripture? Or maybe as a little kid, you've always believed that something was going to happen in your life. Maybe it's just the hope of something better, a better family, better job, living on purpose, not struggling financially, maybe being able to give more generously like Stephen King. Some of the reasons why we can't give like Stephen King is because we're too worried about how we ain't got enough to give. How many would like to be to a place where you don't have to worry about, I don't have enough to give, so I can just give freely, right? How many of us have ever wanted or gotten a promise of some sort or even just a hope that something like that would ever happen? Raise your hand. All right, good. I'm talking to the right people. Isn't it interesting that when we get a hope like that or when we get a promise from God, we get excited? I say that's a little seed that's planted in our hearts. Whenever we get a little seed like that, we get super excited. You know why? We get excited because we're excited that something's going to happen. So look, we get this little seed. It's just a thought. It's just an idea. It's just a hope in our heart, right? But here's what we're really excited about. All the fruit. We're like, ooh, when I achieve this goal, when God does what he says he's going to do, when things change, I'm finally going to stop struggling. I'm going to finally have peace. I'm going to finally have joy. Ooh, my family finally going to start acting right. My kids ain't going to be crazy no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When that fruit comes, everything's going to be all right. You don't get excited about the seed. Go back, Crystal. You don't get excited about the seed. You get excited about the fruit. But the problem is there's a whole lot that has to happen between the seed and the fruit. Ugh. Everybody got all quiet then. I don't think I like where this message is going. We get excited about the fruit when we get a vision for something bigger in our lives. But the problem is you will never jump from seed to fruit. Once a seed is planted, you know what the next step is? Okay, you and that biology major, she said germination. I'm sure that is correct. However, none of us in here remember that from biology in sixth grade. So let me break it down. What happens is that seed has to start developing roots. In order for that seed to produce fruit, there is an entire process, and that process requires it to develop fruit. So if you want to get the promise, if you want to reach the dreams, if you want to see the things that God has for you, you have to understand that you're going to have to go through a process where you develop roots. Because if roots aren't developed in your life, you will never see the fruit that you're hoping to have. And some of you are like, I don't even understand what you mean by developing roots. Well, I'm going to explain that for you today. As you see, we all got these t-shirts on that say rooted together in Christ. It's so important because I believe the Bible tells us that God wants every one of us to bear fruit. And not just some fruit, but much fruit. But the challenge is you cannot bear much fruit if there's no roots. Because without roots, you can't sustain a heavy tree. You can't sustain the character, the weight, the things that are going to come out. Let me tell you something. If you don't know how to be nice to people and you haven't learned how to be nice to mean folks, if you want God to give you a business, you're going to struggle. Because all your customers do is be mean to you. Right? If you want, how many single people are like, I want to be married? You want to be married, but you can't stand people. How you going to live with somebody all day, every day, and you don't like people? You're not even nice. You can't forgive folks who cut you off in traffic. See, all of that is the roots. It's developing your character. It's developing your nature. It's developing your work ethic. It's developing your ideology and your mindset on life. If we can't develop good roots, you'll never get good fruit. As a matter of fact, Jesus talks about this. He says in Mark chapter 4, verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. He's talking about the parable of the sower. And he's saying there's some seed that got sown. And he said that some of it lands on stony ground where you hear the word, you hear the promise, you hear the vision, you immediately receive it with gladness. You're like, yes, look at what God's going to do. And the Bible says in verse 17, and they have no root in themselves. And so what happens when you have no root, if you have no character development, you know what happens? You only last for a short period of time. You only can go through an experience and say, okay, God, you know, you don't have any roots, but God's called you to go back to school. That's why you take one class and drop out. Because I don't have the character to sustain the work necessary. It's the reason why we go to jobs and we'll hop from job to job or from relationship to relationship. Because we haven't learned that you're going to have to endure for a time. And the Bible says afterwards, here's what happened. When trials or tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, here's what's going to happen. You're going to stumble and fall. And it goes on to say, now these are the ones sown among thorny grounds. They are the ones, they also don't have root, who hear the word. And then the cares of the world, all the looking at how much money I need to make, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things begin to choke out the vision and the promise that God has given you, and you become unfruitful. Look, church, we're going deep today because we got to get deep roots if we're going to develop fruit. We're not going to be a church of folks who go through the motions. Go back to that passage in Ephesians because that's our base passage. This is where we're coming from, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and that you being rooted. Somebody say rooted. You being rooted and grounded in love. So we're working on how deep are your roots today. Why are roots important? Anybody know what this is? What's that? Tumbleweed. You ever wonder why tumbleweeds tumble? But most people say because of the wind, because the wind blow them. But the wind hits a lot of things that don't blow. Why does the wind hit a tumbleweed and the tumbleweed blows? Because the tumbleweed has no roots, right? Matter of fact, tumbleweeds only put down one little root. And that root is very shallow. So tumbleweeds, when wind blows, when life starts getting challenging, when things start getting tough, they're like, I'm out, deuces, we tumbling on to the next place. And then they're like, okay, no, I'm good, I'm gonna stay right here. Come on, somebody, watch this, what happens. And then somebody in your family gets sick. Oh, deuces, I'm out again. Then you lose your job. Oh, I'm done, God, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Look, you don't have to tell on yourself. I'm going to tell on my own self. Even though I've been walking with God since I was 7 years old, when my mother passed away, I felt like a tumbleweed. I was ready to bounce. I was like, God, you cool, but I'm mad at you right now. I'm out. But if it had not been for the fact that all of those years I had developed deep roots, I wouldn't be standing here 16 years later after my mom passed, still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because troubles are going to come. The wind is going to blow. Life is ugly. Look, I'm not talking to teenagers. I talked to teenagers this week, and I said that, and they were like, really? I'm talking to folks who know. Y'all are like, oh, no, life is downright nasty, ugly. It's not fair. Cancer is not fair. I don't care how you put it, it's not fair. Sickness and disease, not fair. Poverty, not fair. Losing your job is not fair. Having a marriage that you thought was going to work out but is not working the way you hope is not fair. Life ain't living next to a neighbor who get on your last nerves, that is also not fair. If you thought that you were going to come to church and I was going to tell you that life is fair, I'm sorry, I'm messing with your life. It ain't. And this is why a lot of people struggle with God. Because God, it's not fair. But the Bible says God reigns on the just and the unjust. What does that mean? God is like, I understand what's going on and I can do whatever I need to do in the middle of these situations. You've got to stop stressing over how life isn't fair. And you got to start saying to yourself, you know what, hold up. I'm going to have to get some roots because some unfair stuff is coming my way. Some stuff that's not supposed to happen to me is coming my way. So what's the difference between a tumbleweed and, watch this, a sequoia tree? That sequoia tree, when the wind hits, it ain't going nowhere. Come on, somebody. You can sit there and blow on that bad boy. It's not moving. That's all the people, the haters, saying stuff to you. You ain't that smart. You ain't cute. You'll never make it. Look, they blowing on you, but if I'm a sequoia, I ain't going nowhere. If I've got roots that are deep down in the ground, nothing is going to move me. Nothing's going to shake me. I'm going to be able to produce the fruit. I'm going to have the life that God has always desired for me to have, even though life gets crazy. Because I got roots. Well, that sounds good, Pastor. But here's the question. Is your spiritual life like tumbleweed, or is it like a sequoia? Because if you only have one or two roots in your spiritual life, and these roots don't go very deep, you stand the risk of constantly being uprooted when the breeze of business, when stress, when the routines of life start to hit, when tragedy hits, you're going to start blowing. But if you have deep spiritual roots, you'll find yourself standing firm no matter what comes in your life. Let me tell you something. That doesn't mean life hurts any less. And even though you still struggle with the same questions and the same issues that everybody else asks, your faith keeps you strong in believing for the promise that fruit is going to come out of your life. You face uncertainty with courage, suffering with hope, and tragedy with confidence because your roots go deep in the ground. They are choices that we have to make in our life, and without a secure foundation, we get tossed around. And you might be asking, well, what's that secure foundation? The best foundation I can tell you, the first root that you plant that will stay strong, that will build everything, is for your decision to ask Jesus to come into your heart. My decision to make Jesus Lord of my life and say, God, I trust and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, you were buried and you rose again, it changed everything for me. It is the foundation for which, when trials hit, I still believed. It's the foundation upon which I said, it doesn't matter what people say, I'm still holding on. And that's the reason why we can see fruit. So here's what's interesting is that we applaud fruit. We love fruit. Come on, some of y'all are like, ooh, you're doing so good. People see me now. For many people who don't know, I wish I would have did my before and after pictures because some of y'all haven't seen me. But I lost 70 pounds in the last 7.5, 8 months. And what was funny was I, over the summer, was out in Arizona for baseball and met some new parents. And one of the new parents, he thought I was a trainer. You clearly don't know me. I lost all this weight without exercising, so I ain't trying to. I just stopped eating cake. But what was interesting was you see the fruit and you just think, wow, you've always been this way. Nobody saw the 7.5 months of hard work it took to get to the fruit. Nobody saw the times when I wanted to eat cake and I had to back up and say, no, we went out to eat yesterday and they had red velvet cake at the restaurant. And I was like, but there are some choices that you have to make, look, that people don't see because we applaud the results. And the problem is you might be sitting and looking at somebody else's results and comparing, why am I not getting that same result? Why doesn't my life look like that? Why doesn't my church look like that? Why doesn't my business look like that? How come I'm not getting those kind of grades? Why does my marriage not look like that? We always do this with kids. Ooh, your kid got an A in that class? Ooh, yeah, not my kid. And then you go home to your kid and you're like, how come you couldn't get an A like Susie? You know what my son say? Because Susie's smart. I had to stop comparing myself. And the problem in our generation is social media. All we do is see fruit on social media. You don't see the hard work on social media. You see somebody and they boo, cute. You don't know they was cussing each other out last night. But they had to work to forgive each other and to honor each other. Even to compromise when they didn't want to compromise just so they could take that picture. Or they took the picture in the middle of the drama and they was just trying to act like we having fruit. Everybody see these pictures of their kids doing great things on social media. Everybody, oh, you're like, oh. It's okay. You know, stop. You look, applaud them, but stop comparing. Because your child ain't that child. Some of y'all don't believe that. Yeah, I got two boys. They remind me constantly they are not like other people. I got so excited because my kids really struggle. My older one really struggles with math and science. And he took his first math test this week and he was so excited. He came back and said, Mom, I think I got like 100+ on that. I said, first of all, is that possible? Yeah, there's extra credit, Mom. I think I rocked that. Mom, he's like, I'm getting a 4.0 this semester. I was like, really? I've been trying for 10 years to get the boy to believe he could get a 4.0. I was like, hallelujah, he believed it. The next day he had a chemistry test. He said, you know when I told you about that 4.0? He said, yeah, that ain't gonna happen. And there used to be a time when I would get mad because not only was I comparing him to other kids, but I was comparing him to myself. I was a great student. I don't understand why you can't be. And the Lord said, now this is gonna mess with some of y'all. He had another parent. He wasn't that bright. Academically. So I had to remember that my child is not me. And so when he came back and he says he's not, you know, it probably won't happen. You know what I said? It's all right. Because here's what I'm after. What's in your roots? What are you learning how to work hard? Are you learning how to overcome stuff? Are you learning how to deal with difficult things? Because if you can get that, I don't care what grade you get. When you go off in life, you're going to be able to handle whatever life is throwing at you. So we got to stop comparing fruit. Everybody wants somebody else's fruit. Stop comparing fruit and start getting excited about the root. Let me tell you, God will give us a vision, but God is not interested in developing your vision. He's interested in developing you. And let me tell you, he can develop you anywhere. Some of us think that what God is doing in my life to develop roots does not directly relate to the vision God has for me. So I don't like what he's doing. I'm out. I'm going to go do something that looks like the vision. That's a problem, people. Let me explain to you why. God gave me a vision in 2000. And this vision was that I was going to be speaking to thousands of people. And I was like, ooh, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like a stadium full of people. I was like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. That was 2000. That was almost 20 years ago. And I got excited. And you know what happened when I got excited about that? I said, let's go develop the vision, God. What do? You start figuring out how you're going to make it work. So you know what I did? I went out and I promptly made brochures of myself. And I wrote a book because I figured if I write a book, then people will, first of all, greatest accomplishment, I feel, one of the greatest things I ever did was finish that book because it was just something I wanted to do. But that book never brought me a dime. Book never opened a door for me to speak nowhere. You know why? Because I was telling God how to develop roots in me instead of just trusting God to develop roots right where I was. He said, because that aligns with what you think the vision is. How many of y'all try to do that? You try to go fix the vision. Okay, God, this is what you said you're going to do. Let's go try to make it happen. And you know what God did? God said, as a matter of fact, I want you to stop doing all that. Don't even try to speak. Matter of fact, quit all your other jobs and just pastor the church. Just pastor the church. I mean, that seems like the least likely to lead me to my vision. God, why are you telling me to just pastor the church? You know why? Because every week, for 45 to 50 Sundays out of the year, I was developing and getting roots and learning how to speak. 2 years ago, God said, all right, now it's time for you to get some training. You've been doing that all this time. It's time for you to get good. I've been preaching for 9 years at that point and 400 messages, and now you're telling me it's time to get good? What is God saying? It's time to start developing roots. You've been doing stuff you think that you're good at, and God said you haven't developed any roots yet. Well, if I go back to school, then I can get good at that. You can go back to school, but that might not be what God has for you. Yeah. Well, if I go take this job over here, then I can say, you can go and get that job, but maybe working at McDonald's is going to give you the roots you need, and you don't even like it. We don't. God, this message is flying over. It's not going well. So 2 years ago, I decided to learn how to be a speaker. In the process of that, about a year ago, the team that I'm a part of has a speaking competition. And I was like, that sounds exciting. And God was like, you need to apply. And I was like, I'm good. And I waited until 2 weeks before the deadline. And the Lord was like, you got to do this. So I submitted a video. There are people who had been working on this for 6 months. I submitted a video 2 weeks before. The guy made some changes to my video. I submitted my final edit, and I thought, that's it. Won't happen. Well, sure enough, I made it as a semifinalist, and then I moved into the finalist. And then I ended up getting the number one position out of hundreds of people who applied for this opportunity to speak. And I spoke before 4,000 people from 160 different countries. And I didn't try to do it. It was just, I was following God, not the vision. See, we got to stop following the dreams and start following the King. If you follow the King, he'll lead you to your dreams. And what's interesting is I've always wanted to speak to high school students and junior high students, but I mean like go into the schools, but I never really knew how to do it. And I thought I had to work things out. Well, from that, I developed a 3-minute speech. Then I got asked to speak at another church. I took that 3-minute speech, turned it into a 35-minute message. Got good teaching that 135-minute message. Spoke that 135-minute message at another church. In that church was an administrator at a different school. In fact, my kids' school. And he asked and called me about 5 months after I spoke there and said, hey, we have chapel next year. Can you do chapel for me? And I'm thinking, y'all got 800 students in junior high and 1,700 in high school. I really don't want to do that. I got a little nervous. But see, when you follow the King and not your dream, he'll just open a door for you. You just do what he tells you to do, and he'll open the next door. And this past week on Wednesday, I had a chance to speak at Valley Christian during our chapel services for junior high and high school. And the response that I got was that was the best chapel they had seen ever at the school. I had a teacher who'd been there. Come on, praise the Lord. It was all God. I had a teacher who had been there for 10 years, and she said, that's the best chapel I've seen in 10 years. I was like, amazing, because they have chapel every week. Shocking. And here's the thing that got me. I was trying to get there 11 years before. And when I chased the dreams, nothing happened. But when I let God start to develop root, to say, let's get good at speaking. Let's start working on who you are. Let's start changing your character. Let's understand some things. Then God was like, now she's ready, and he opened the door. So how do you get the fruit? You got to take the time to develop the roots. Here's the problem with developing roots. Show this picture, the next one. Growing roots is not a linear process. Those of you who think, if I just do A first, then B next, then C next, then I'll get to D, E, and F, and I'll have exactly what God said. Does that look linear? Does that look like A, B, C, and D is happening? It looks absolutely chaotic. In fact, God's process looks like A, Z, T, V, R, S, A, B, C, A, D. And you're going like, God, where are we going with this? This makes no sense. This is radical. This is crazy. God, I thought we were trying to go here. You're developing roots so I can give fruit. Well, what are we doing this crazy stuff that you're telling me to do? Why am I spending my time on this thing that feels like it's worthless to me? And God is like, because you're developing roots. Roots doesn't look the way you think it looks. The process is messy. The process is frustrating. When God gives you a word or a promise and you set a goal, you start painting these pictures and God is like, I got your picture. It's going to change. It's different. When God is developing roots, you have to trust him for the process. Because you'll look back like I just did in my story and you'll say, oh, that's how we got there. Anybody ever had those situations where you look back and you ain't know how you ended up where you were and you just kind of go, oh. But when you're going through it, you don't know what God's doing. So you're like, And we are angry and we're mad and we're frustrated. You know what happens when we get angry, mad, and frustrated? We try to control. So we try to create our own process again. I want to tell you, what does this have to do with Back to Church Sunday? This is the reason why it's so important to get rooted in a church. Because what will happen is God will place you in a church so that you can grow and produce the fruit he wants to produce in your life. But what many of us will want to do is say, I don't see how this church is helping me get the vision. So what we do is the minute it doesn't line up with what we want, we run. We run to the place that has what we think we need. I want to encourage you, if it's not this church, find another church. But find a place where you can get rooted and God can start to grow some character inside of you. Because you're not going to get that fruit out by doing what you think you want to do. Now, I want to show you a key to this because this is just the beginning. Over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be talking to you about how do we get fruit from the roots. And I'm going to be giving you some details and some key components as to what you need to do to make sure you're keeping yourself in the process to produce the fruit and get the promises that God has in your life. But before I do that, I'm going to close on this one major principle. So the next 4 weeks, we're talking about being rooted together in Christ. But if you look back at Ephesians 3, I want to show you a piece. I talked to you about why you need to be rooted. But watch this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Here's the key component. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints. You can be rooted and be in isolation and still not grow and produce what God wants to produce in yourself. So many of us want to do life by ourselves. Don't act like you don't want to do life by yourself. It's the reason why you get sick. I was talking to somebody and they was telling us their neighbor gets on their nerves. It was so funny. And they were like, I just wish they'd stop coming over. But you know, God planted you right there. We want, when people hurt us, we want to move and do things in isolation. When people disappoint us, we want to do things in isolation. What do we say when somebody disappoints us? I don't need nobody. I can do this myself. There is a problem with that when it comes to roots. And you're like, well, I don't see the problem. I see roots all the time by themselves, trees all by themselves that are growing and producing roots. Well, a scientist was standing in a forest and they saw this. They saw a stump. And the scientist was confused because the scientist said, wait a second. This is a stump about a foot off the ground. Obviously, it's been cut down. It should be a smooth surface where we can see the rings of the tree. Why is it like scabs are formed over, like a bark is starting to grow on top of that stump? And the scientist was really confused because the scientist realized that in order for bark to grow, it needed a living tree and living nutrients to be able to grow. So somehow this stump, which had been dead for a long period of time, is starting to now regrow into a tree. And they're struggling with how in the world did this happen? Well, the scientists said that they believe the secret to that stump being able to regrow lies underneath their feet. And they said down there, hidden under the surface, lies a vast network of tree roots. These networks are often called neighborhoods. If you notice, this stump is right next to other trees. The tree does not have roots and nutrients on its own, so the tree is connected to its neighbors. So what's happening? These trees are rooted together. Well, how does it work? So the tree that's living and tall and active starts to leak out sugars through their root system and other compounds into the soil. And the other stump literally starts to exchange and get sugar from its neighbor. You know how they used to do in the old days? You used to go to your neighbor and borrow sugar? where the trees are literally borrowing sugar from each other. And the sugar is what it needs to grow. This process is called root grafting. It happens when a tree roots rub up against each other and they start to physically fuse together. When this occurs, neighboring trees, even different species, share one big circulatory system. It's almost like the tree is getting a transfusion. The cells are connected together. The blood vessels are connected together. And that's what happens when we come together in community. When you come together in community, you develop your roots together. You grow. And when you develop roots together, if something in life cuts you down, your neighboring tree can give you what you need to help you to grow back. The neighboring tree can give you the love, can give you the encouragement, can tell you you can do this. You're not by yourself. They can even help you out with your family. I love our church so much because when people go through stuff, you know what the first thing we ask you? Do you need some food? Because we like to eat. Pastor B, I'm so glad he's here. He's standing up over there. Pastor B, many of you don't know this, but this week just had a really quick issue with his health and had an emergency appendectomy. So he had surgery this week. And it was like immediate while he was going, he was at the hospital in ER. It was like a network was happening behind. His wife told one person, she sent it out to the whole leadership team. The whole leadership team gets in action. We're all praying for Pastor B. Phone calls are being made. Y'all need food. You need us to get the kids. What you need to do? What you need to do? Why? Because that is what happens when life hits you. The neighboring community, when you're rooted together, says, I'm going to come to the side and I'm going to help you get whatever you need. Because we want to help you get back on your feet. We want to make sure you're not alone. And Pastor B is here standing up like ain't nothing ever happened. Y'all don't even know he had surgery this week. Come on, you can praise God for that. That's a good thing. That's what community means. And I think so much in life, we're trying to do life by ourselves. But God says, let's get rooted together. When we get rooted together like this, when something happens, you're not by yourself. I remember the time when being rooted together in this church meant the most to me. It was in 2008, and in 2008, my husband and I planted this church in 2000, so it's been almost 20 years. And in 2008, he actually passed on a Sunday morning from a massive heart attack, and he passed at church. The network of the church was everything. I remember he was at the church, and I remember yelling and calling, and someone came who knew CPR, and they started CPR until the ambulance and the fire trucks could come, and they took over. They took him to the hospital. I remember Pastor Jen drove my car and said, I'll take you. She drove me to the hospital. Several of our leaders were at the hospital. When the doctors came and told me he had passed away, I wasn't alone. I had the support of the people in this church right there with me. I went home and people brought their kids to my house so my kids would have somebody to play with and wouldn't think about things. And they talked to me and they cared for me and they prayed for me and they brought food for me. And I was like, this is what rooted together looks like. Now I'm going to tell you, I had family. I won't tell you who, but some of y'all know. I had family members who said, oh, you know what? I'll take care of this for you. I'll do this for you, and they didn't come through. But you know who came through? The people who I was rooted together with. So I know church can hurt. I know church can be painful. I know church can be difficult, and I know that the church is not perfect. But here's what I know. If you can get rooted together with the right church, when stuff hits, you'll be okay. You'll have a connection around you. You'll be able to withstand. Watch this. From 2008, I didn't know this, but the fruit God produced was you. Every person in here is the fruit of us staying in this church, of God working on me as a pastor, of God working through difficult times, of losing my husband, of being mean and nasty, of being downright difficult. God worked through all of that in me. And you being here today is a result of that. So here's what I say. If it hadn't have been in 2008 for being rooted together with some folks, we would have never seen fruit. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. I don't care where you go. Pray and ask God. But find a place where you can, number one, learn more about Jesus Christ, because our shirts say rooted together in Christ. It is Christ that's the foundation for us. It's Christ who has allowed us to love each other through difficult times. It's Christ, because it don't mean I like everybody that I'm rooted with at all times. We have fights. We have arguments. I'm pointing to people that I done had an issue. I can point to everybody, any section of the room, and find somebody I done had a problem with. But see, I stay rooted because I understand I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to grow if I keep chasing the vision and not chasing the King. Where is the King planting you? First of all, you have to choose to be rooted in Christ. So I want you to grab the hand of the person you're standing next to. If you're here today and you're like, man, I want that kind of root system. I want to make sure that I'm not by myself. Grab the hand of the person you're standing next to. If you're by yourself, go find a lane and go reach across. There you go. Get somebody. Here you go. Yeah, there we go. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what? Yeah, there's some things that God wants to do in me. There's some things that I want to see happen in my life. They haven't been happening. Could it be because you need to start by getting rooted in Jesus Christ? Could it be that God brought you here so that you can make a decision to say, in Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. I want to know that when I go through difficult times, that I'm going to be okay. If you're here today and you're saying, I need Jesus in my life, maybe this is your first time, or maybe you've already known him and you've stepped away and you just like, I want to come back. I want you to squeeze the hand of the person you're standing next to. Just squeeze their hand as a sign that I need Jesus in my life. And if you're here today and you're like, you know what? I've been trying to do this by myself. No wonder no fruit's coming. I need to get rooted together. If you're here today and you're saying, I need a church, maybe you're not ready to say this church yet because it's new, but you're just like, I just heard that message and I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to work to make sure that I'm rooted together somewhere. Squeeze the hand of the person you're next to. Just squeeze it as a sign like, hey, yep, I got that. I'm going to try. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to find a place where I can get connected and I can grow so that I can really have what God has called me to have and be who God's called me to be. If you're here today and somebody squeezed your hand, could you do me a favor? Just lift their hands in the air for me. If somebody squeezed your hand, just lift their hands for them. Don't let them do it by themselves. They don't have to worry about it. Now I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I promise you I will not embarrass you. I will not put a mic in front of you. But if that's you and somebody has squeezed your hand, could you do me a favor and just walk them up to the altar? I want to pray with them. Don't let them come by themselves. Just say, come on, I got you. Trust me, if you're part of this church, I'm not going to put a mic in your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If somebody squeezed your hand, tell them, come on, I got you. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. I saw some hands over here. I promise you, I won't make you feel bad. Come on up. They're not going to make you come by yourself. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. You are so pretty. It's the prettiest little girl. I love little girls because I have boys. All right, now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you said, hey, I need Jesus, or I'm coming back to Jesus, could you do me a favor and just step in front of the person that came and brought you, just so we know who we're talking about? I know some of you are coming because of the church. Don't leave. But some of you are coming because you're like, hey, I need Jesus. All right, come on. Hallelujah. So we got, praise the Lord. We got a few. Come on, church. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for all those that are coming. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray and say a prayer after me. The church is not going to let you do it by yourself. They're going to say it with you so you don't have to feel alone. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray together to ask Jesus into your heart or to recommit to Jesus again. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for those of you who said, I'm going to find a church and community, and I'm going to get in community. So those of you who came for that, just stay here for a second, okay? Is that all right? Can we do that? All right, can y'all just repeat this prayer after me? Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming today because I'm ready to get rooted in Christ. I believe that you died on the cross, that you were buried, and you rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. Now, Jesus, come into my heart, take root, help me to grow and be rooted in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And just like that, the Lord is coming to your heart. Amen. So what we're going to do, those of you who prayed that prayer, Pastor Jen, can you go, Deacon, Pastor B. King, can you go to that corner? If y'all could just go stand by them, just so that we know who you are. We want to make sure that we stay in contact. We actually have an email that we want to send you so that you can learn more about the decision you made, so you can understand what your next steps will be. But y'all may just go ahead and go follow them for just a second. If you came forward, just they're not going far. Please just go stand right next to them. Go, come on, those of you who said that. Yeah, go ahead. Right now, they'll talk to you later. If somebody brought you and you feel like they're scared to go with them. Go, come on. Yeah, come on, go. She's just go. Now, if you came for the other prayer, don't leave. I'm about to pray for you. Okay, you're here for both. If you're here for both, stand there and then I'll pray for you and we'll come back. All right, let's pray. So, Father, we're going to pray for those who said, I am making a choice that I want to be rooted and founded and grounded in a good church home. Lord, I thank you for every person who said that. Help me, Father God, give us wisdom to know which church. Lord, I'm not here so that they come to Rohi, but I hope you come back. What I'm here for is that each person finds the appropriate place, the place where they can grow, the place where they can get connected, the place where they can start to develop a root system with other believers so that you can help them to produce the fruit in their life. My desire and your desire, I know, God, is that they would bear fruit, much fruit that will last. So, Lord, lead them and guide them to the right place. May they know, may they hear, may they understand, may they find peace when you send them to the right church. And God, if they don't know what church that is, they're welcome to come back here every Sunday till they figure it out. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, those of you who said, I want to get committed and find a church, raise your right hand. Say this, say, Lord, I'm gonna go to somebody's church next week in Jesus' name.